I'm grateful for the power of God's word in reviving and in life, giving life today, even through our songs. I felt better after singing and more strength and relief. So I'm grateful for the Bible verses, the clear way that they were said. I just appreciate that so much. The Lord has given me a verse to explore this morning in Psalms 116. The psalmist, some people feel like that this psalm comes from the time after the children of Israel had been taken captive and then come back. So the psalmist reliving experiences and memories of what the Lord had done for them. And a lot of them referred to it as a time that they were dead and then God revived them again. So if you look at it in this light, it kind of gives some understanding. But some also feel like that it's a psalm that directly refers to Jesus and what Jesus went through. Sufferings, death, the Lord bringing him back. So that gives some insights into this word. But I'll start with verse 1, and this recounts the things that the Lord had done. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. That kind of makes me think of the verse that says, we love him because he first loved us. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. That gives you a thought that maybe you were so weak and almost gone that when you cried, no one could hear you, but the Lord did like this. That's what he has done. We sing a song that says, he can hear the hearts faint, what? Whisper. He has inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold on me, upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. This word simple has to do with little children. And it could either be, remember, he said that he gives his angels charge. And little children, if you hurt little children, their angels are watching the face of the Father. That's what this word simple, it refers to. He is the helper and the preserver of little ones. That's a comfort to us as parents. And we should be thinking of that and praying, Lord, let your angels watch over our little children. Well, it could also be applied to the childlike hearts of those who believe. He preserves you if you trust in him as a child. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted, and I said in my haste, all men are liars. Then I asked a question. After the Lord had done all of this for him, he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Well, there is something that people do when the Lord has done all of these things for them, and we don't want to do this. Psalms 103, 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What am I going to do? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? One thing, I don't want to forget him. And I believe it was told us on Wednesday night, Brother Randy said, that they would have forgotten if it hadn't been written down. But since it was written down, they would read back into the diary and see what the Lord had done. And that's just about everything that I've written down, I still remember. And the things that I haven't written down, I'll have to say, I've forgot a lot about them. And that's sad. Surely we should be thankful for the written word of God, because it has kept these things in our remembrance. I don't want to forget the benefits of the Lord toward me. We don't ever want to forget the way that he saved us, and how needy we were and how sinful we were. We can forget. People can forget just how low they were without the Lord. We don't want to forget how that he's all of the things that the Lord has done for us. I'll go on to that in just a little bit when I get to the next verse. We don't either want to get lifted up where we don't render back to the Lord the thanksgiving and the praise and the recognition. And there's someone that did that. Can you think of someone in the Bible that the Lord healed him and saved him from death? And then they got lifted up and they didn't return to the Lord the praise and the honor that was due him. There's a scripture that tells about it. The Lord came to Hezekiah, told Isaiah to go to Hezekiah and say, "You're going to die and not live. Set your house in order." So Hezekiah laid there on his bed and he turned over and he put his face against the wall and he cried bitterly. He cried and asked the Lord to look upon him and to have mercy on him. I'm sure he did. It doesn't say what he did. Well, maybe there are some. Anyway, he cried to the Lord, and the prophet Isaiah, who had gone into the palace to tell him that he was going to die, he hadn't even got out to the outside yet, and the Lord spoke to him. So Hezekiah had just immediately called on the Lord, and immediately the Lord decided to give him more time. He said to Isaiah, "Turn around and go back in there to the king and tell him I'm going to add 15 years to your life." And so he did. The Lord did. And Hezekiah got well, and he and his wife had another child. And all was wonderful. But you know what he did? He got so wealthy that all of the people in the regions around wanted to come and see all of his treasures. And so they came. He showed those other princes all of his treasures. And he did not talk to them about what the Lord had done for him. They came to hear about it. They came because they knew a miracle had been done. There was a sign in the heaven. God had turned the sun. God had made there to be a difference in the sundial. There was a difference in the movement of the earth. And the princes of the earth came to hear about it. He did not talk to them about the Lord. He did not render. And let's read that. 2 Chronicles 32. And 24 and 25. In those days Hezekiah was sick unto the death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. Turn that sundial backwards. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefits done unto him. Therefore, there was wrath upon him. Oh, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore was there wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. I'm glad he did that. That set an example for his son, Manasseh, who we had a message here not too far back about Manasseh and the mercy that the Lord had and how he repented of his horrible sins before the Lord. I'm thankful that Hezekiah did humble himself. But we want to not forget the benefits of the Lord. And we don't want to get where we're lifted up and we don't render. Now, we want to find out what it means to render. This question was, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Here is how he answers his own question. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. At first glance, you might think, well, okay, that's kind of, we do that. I mean, that's what's big about that. But let's look at the words. The word salvation here is in a singular, but in the Hebrew, it was plural. I will take the cup of salvations. And it has to do with every deliverance, everything that works toward my salvation and my deliverance. I will take the cup that's offered to me of his deliverance. There, God could have died on the cross many, many times. I'm glad that he didn't, but one was sufficient. But it was so sufficient for mankind that all of us could take of that offering, that salvation that he offered, and there's victory in it, and there's freedom from sin, and there's cleansing in it, and there's grace, there's free grace, and there's pardon and forgiveness. All of that for our salvation. There's peace with God done by that. He, by his cross, he made peace. And we need to take that. It's a free gift. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What I need to do is to take. You say, well, we're supposed to give something back. The way that you requite the Lord, the way that you render to the Lord, is to receive what he's given so freely, is to take it and appropriate it into your life. You ever give a gift and it wasn't received? Did you feel that the recipient was thankful? Did you feel that they were rendering back to you what made you feel gratified and happy that you had given the gift? Did you ever have that happen to you? Where you gave a gift and it was... I know there's been times that we as parents did not realize the depth of our children's hearts when they gave us a little scribbled note or a picture, and they poured their love and their themselves into it, and they made this little thing and they gave it to us, and maybe we thought it was a piece of trash and crumpled it up and threw it away. How would you feel, little children? There have been children that have experienced that. And of course, once the parent realizes, oh, that's, you know, maybe takes it out of the trash can, spreads it out, puts it in a frame and hangs it up. This is from my child's heart. They didn't mean to throw it away. They didn't mean to consider it as trash. But what if you were a child and you had done something for your mama or your daddy and they really did just throw it away and not like it, and wouldn't you feel so bad? Wouldn't you feel like crying? Well, God has given his greatest gift and many other gifts. He has given many deliverances, many things that we could call salvation. I will take the cup of salvation. I'll receive it. I'll take it into my life. I will let it work in me. He's given grace. I'll let that grace just work in me and deliver me from all of my weaknesses and my fears, and I'll trust him. Oh, there's so much here. I will take the cup of salvation. When Jesus was there with his disciples, he took a literal cup and he lifted it up and he blessed it and he thanked God for it. And he said, take, this is my life. This is my blood. I'm giving it for you. I want you to take this. So when we take the cup of salvation spiritually, we're taking his very lifeblood. We're receiving it and we're letting it work for us to save us and to deliver us and to cleanse us. What do you think about a religion where God has offered and given freely his own son and all things to help save and deliver mankind, and that mankind says, we can't be free from sin. We must go on sinning. Are they taking the cup of salvation? And are they calling upon the Lord and appropriating this offered grace into their lives? No, they're settling for far less. In a sense, they're taking the cup and they're just pouring it out and saying, I don't want it. You've given me your lifeblood to save me from sin, to free me and deliver me from its power and its guilt. How many times do people do that? And I think about the question in Deuteronomy 32 where he asked the children of Israel, do you thus requite the Lord? Is this what you render? A life of slavery to sin? A life of wrongdoing and repentance over and over and over again? Do you thus requite the Lord? When he gave his blood and he willingly laid his life down, we want to take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Another way that we can look at that is that in the cup, there's sweetness, but it's mingled with some bitter. In the cup of deliverances that the Lord brings to our soul, did you know there are some things that are for your salvation and for my salvation that we don't want, that we don't like? What if he would give those things to us, knowing if you'll take this, it'll be your salvation? Look at this. I'll show you an example in Philippians chapter 1. Where Paul was in bonds, he was in prison, and writing this to the brethren, talking about his imprisonment here in this first chapter. In verse 12, he said, but I would you understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. When this whole thing is tossed out and we see the results of it, is what he's saying. We see that by my imprisonment, the gospel has been spread. That would be the cup of salvations, the cup of deliverance coming to many and many and many by this bitter thing in Paul's life. And he said, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So he was recognizing the bitter and the sweet. All of them are salvation for me, for others, for this world. And so he thanked the Lord. He took the cup of salvation. Another verse here says in verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So that's what he's saying, the cup of salvation here. I'm taking it. I'm accepting it. Thank you, thanking the Lord for, as Jesus did, he took the cup, which was, he's saying, this is my own life spilled out. I'm thanking God for this. I'm thanking the Father. Father, thank you that I can give my life for the world. Could we do that? Could we? And I know that you can read stories of the martyrs. weren't there martyrs that stood at the stake? Was it Polycarp? Which one was it that clapped his hands in praise to God until he just had stubs? The hands were burned off. He was still clapping. And so they couldn't shut him up and quiet him, so they pierced him through with a sword. And then guess what? His blood flowed out and put out the fire. You couldn't stop his praises, and the joy was like a fountain. This truly was the cup of salvations, deliverances, providences, supply, all of these things that comes in this cup to us. He said, I'll take the cup of salvation. I asked the question a while ago, what if you gave a gift and it wasn't received? I remember a time like that where I didn't have a lot of money and I spent a lot of time making something for someone. And I put my heart into it, and I looked at it and I thought, that is just perfect. That'll match. I think they'll like it. I think this is just... And so I gave it. And I knew in my mind, I thought, you know, when you give a gift, you let go of it. You don't stop to see whether they're using it or whether they're thankful. You don't expect a thank you note. I'm telling myself this. Now, Angela, you know, you gave this. That's their business, what they do with it. They can throw it away if they want to. We're supposed to give like that. I know. But at the same time, you kind of think, I spent so much time with it. I want them to enjoy this so bad. And you kind of, so I kind of went against my own better judgment. And one time I went there and I thought, I wonder if they liked my little gift. So I went and I thought, I know what room I made this for. I'm going to see if it's in there. I'm telling on myself. I was being very silly. I went in there and I thought, they don't have it in here. Maybe they just put it up at different times or something. Okay. So later, I didn't think much about it after that. I just kind of thought, oh, well, you know, maybe they just don't have it in there. But later, I went into a nursing home in that town. And I saw my gift in the nursing home. I thought, okay, so they didn't like my gift and they sent it over to the nursing home. And I always thought about that. I thought, you know what? It's okay. But I spent a lot of time with that. I really thought over that thing. And they didn't like it. They thought someone else would like it. God has given us so many things. He wants us to take what He's given us, to use it in our lives, to receive it, to make it a part of us. That's what He gave His life for. Now, let's go back. Let's take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Then He goes on. It is in the heart of God that when He has given us freely of all His blessings, do you know what He wants us to do? He wants us to keep coming to Him and asking Him when we need something. Remember the scripture, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You know what our tendency is? Our tendency is, when you've done so much for me, oh, I'm not going to trouble you anymore. We do that with each other. You have done so much for me. I'm not going to ask you to do anything more. But you know what the heart of God is? The heart of God is, I want you to continually ask me for more and more. I want you to come to me. I want you to be free. He said, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? When we have a need, the Lord wants us to have that childlike expectancy and just run to the Heavenly Father and say, this is what I need. This is what's come up. I really need Your help. Instead, you know what we do? We try to shoulder our burdens. We try to work things out, figure things out. And all along, the one who has given us the cup of many salvations, deliverances, providences, protection, preservation, supply, provision, all of these things are in this word salvation. He's given all these things to us, and then here's how we react. We get in a place and we don't ask for his help. We don't ask for his care. We think, what is there in us that presumes it's always going to be there? You know what the Lord sometimes has to do? He has to take back a little bit, step back, and let things, allow things to happen to us to help us to remember, you know, I really need the Lord. I need to ask him for help. We need to seek the Lord about this decision. Or we need to go to the Lord in prayer and pray, Lord, provide for us. Help us. Many times we begin to think, if I don't do this, or if I don't work like this, but you know, it's the Lord. It's the Lord whom we depend on. And here the other day I was saying to someone, you know, sometimes I wonder, why did the Lord burden me to pray for him to protect me? Why couldn't he have just protected me? And that person said, it's because he wants you to feel your own need. He wants you to know that you're dependent on him. And I believe that's right. He wants us to realize we need to know that he's the one. Ask him and lay that before him. And then when it happens, and this is exactly the way it was, we were driving down 150 about 1 o'clock in the morning, and here, two deer right there in the road in front of us. I just had time to say, deer. No, look out a deer, or a deer is just deer. And we went this way and the deer went that way and we just missed it. And there was a second one there too. We could have hit those deer so easily, just broadsided them at, what, 65, 70 miles an hour. But that morning the Lord had dealt with me. You need to pray that the Lord will protect you tonight on that trip that you're going to be making. That's when I asked, why didn't he just protect us? It's because he wants us to always bring everything to him. Realize our need of him. recognize that if he's not there. And it's not like he holds things before us and says, if you don't pray, I won't help you. That's not the way it is. It's that he wants us to have that blessing of, I ask, and he came at my request. He's there for me. He answers prayer for us. It builds our faith. I think our faith would dwindle if we never had the time of dependence and looking at him and asking. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now, in the presence of all his people. One of the meanings of this word take is the word lift. And it's referring to in their time of Passover, when they would take the cup, they would lift it up to the Lord and thank him. And they would offer it. And also, to lift up something before the Lord meant to offer to God and dedicate. You've preserved my life. Now I give it to you. I give my life to you. This is my salvation. This is my deliverance. Now you've done this for me in my life, and I give my life back to you. Like this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Offer it back to the Lord. In that, there was a feast that they had right after the feast of the Passover. And the feast of the Passover pointed directly to Jesus' death. But the next feast was called the Feast of the First Fruits. And you know how Paul referred to Christ and said Christ was the first fruits? He's the first to rise from the dead. At that feast, they took a part of their harvest. That was the beginning of their harvest. They took a part of it and they offered it up to the Lord. It was the first fruits of their harvest. 7 weeks later, they had another feast, and it was called the Feast of Pentecost. At that feast, they took of the harvest, the grain, and they offered it before the Lord in a free will offering. Anyone who was to come to that feast was to bring a free will offering. They were to bring whatever they chose, but they were to offer it freely. That feast pointed to the day of Pentecost, when the disciples, having been saved and cleansed by the blood of their Savior, now they offered themselves to God. They lifted up that offering. That's the way we do. We lift up ourselves to God in sacrifice, in consecration, in dedication. Those three feasts directly point to Jesus' death, His resurrection, and then the power that He gave His disciples when they offered themselves willingly. Pentecost. And so this here, it says, I will take, I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will lift up what's been given to me and offer it back to you. Lord, I can only give you what you've given me. I know that. But I give myself willingly to you for service, for consecration, for dedication, to live only unto you, to obey you, to yield to you, to humble to you, to trust in you only. Lord, I yield myself up to you. I believe that this is really what it means. I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. There have been people that I have known. I think I've thought about this many times. There have been people, and you know some too, there have been people that have seen angels, and they're not saved today. There are people that have had miraculous deliverances from death that are not saved today. There are people who have been sick with cancer, and the Lord has healed them, that are not living for the Lord today. Now, think about all that. During the time that they were so sick, they got serious and they gave their lives to the Lord and they said, Lord, I'll live for you. But after they were well, it was so easy for them to forget. I've had that happen to me, and maybe not in that drastic a way. But I have found this, and you might notice this pattern too. When the Lord does something very special for you, and you think, I'll never forget this, I will always be more dedicated to the Lord after this, I'll never go back into lethargy again. This has been so miraculous, I know I will always just... And you know what happens? The enemy comes in, and he does his hardest to get us into a state of lethargy and of, well, you know, phew, that was a battle. Got through that one. And you just kind of, it's easy to let up on your prayers. And you get busy and life goes on. And pretty soon we do exactly what we said at the beginning of the message. We forget the benefit and we don't, and we get lifted up and begin to live kind of in our own strength. This says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Whatever it was that we told the Lord in those times, maybe this morning you can think of some things that you told the Lord, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I'll live for you. That's a very serious vow. I remember a young person told the Lord that one time and then later got so frustrated and said to me, I want to give up, but I can't because I promised the Lord that I was going to live for Him the rest of my life. I said, yeah, you're bound by your word. But you know, that was a good thing. That person, that got them through. I can't give up. I told the Lord, and the Lord did his part. He saved the life. He healed the body. So I've got to live for the Lord. That may be a little humorous, and we've laughed about it. But it's a very serious thing to tell the Lord, Lord, if you do this for me, I'll live for you. Well, that's a little thought that I had this morning. Let's think about these things this week when we meditate on the benefits of the Lord. There's one scripture that says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. He does every day. Every day, your very life, your breath. He wants us to constantly be rendering back to him. Lord, I can't ever repay you. I can't give anything. Here, there were the idol worshipers. Their idea of their gods were that they needed to give stuff to their gods to influence them, to either help them or curse somebody else or pay them. That was the idea in idolatry. And you know what? They would get food and they would take it to the idols. They would take it to the shrines and leave food there and think that their idols would eat it. It's just some superstition that's so ridiculous. But this is really what they would do. But God told his people, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I don't need anything, but you're the one. You're the one that needs to realize you need me. You need my help. You need my blessing. And I've given you everything. I'm the source and the fountain of everything that you need. So God, really, his whole heart toward us is, I want to help you. I love you. I'm giving to you. I give to you all the time. All I want from you is you. Remember the little poem that maybe you've learned this at Christmas? This little child said, what shall I give him? Poor as I am, if I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. What can I give him? I'll give him my heart. That's what the Lord wants from us. What shall we render? Let's give to the Lord our hearts.